Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord has given me the title today. He did that. Amen. And I'm not going to be in Jeremiah. I'm going to be skipping around. So have your little notepad in case some of this is good to you. Amen. But he has given me the title. He did that. And I thank God for the testimony. And I thank God for our missionary, both of our missionaries' words, Missionary Octavia and her husband's words on this past weekend. Because Missionary Marcus is absolutely correct. God is our Redeemer. And you know, so when you see that title, he did that. That is exactly one of the things that he has done, right? And so on this Sunday, the Lord just, I want to talk about, the Lord has me, I want to talk about excuses and the excuses we make for the things that we don't do. Amen. All the excuses we make for the things that we don't do, or the excuses that we make for the things that we hold on to, or the things that we don't address. Because at the end of the day, Jesus did that. And whatever that is, is anything that you feel like I can't do this because of that, Jesus already done did it. He done already paid the price. He's already made the gap. He's already built the bridge. He's already did that, whatever it is. And so I began because just mental overload, leaving my job on Friday. I'm talking about taking 2 and 3 hours after being at home, still just trying to cut my mind off from the day that was, just trying to like get out of thinking about all the things that I have to do at work. And the Lord, this is when he gave me that word, like, Jesus has done that. And I just began to think on the last words of Jesus. So I'm going to start in John 19 with verse 28 and through 30. And y'all can remain seated because I'm going to be reading a lot in this sermon. But the word says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set vessel full of vinegar of something translation say sour wine, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop, and they put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. And so in my study, in my preparation, the sour wine, Jesus saying that he thirsted, all these things were a fulfillment of prophecy, right? The wine was bitter because it represented a bitter end, right? Jesus's ministry was coming to an end. The thing that he was born to do, he had done it. He got up on that cross, right? He took that last little sip of bitter wine, right? Even with them giving him that wine was kind of a mockery, right? It was the cheapest wine, not the best wine. That's why it was sour. Everything, right? But he sipped that wine and he said, in order to fulfill all the prophecies, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And I say that to y'all because somebody needs to know this as a word of encouragement. It might be hard as I'm saying it, but this is a word of encouragement on today. Whatever you are going through, Jesus' work on the cross has answered that thing. He did it. Right? He said, all things are now accomplished. He didn't say some things. He said, all things are now accomplished. He hung his head. He said, it's finished. The penalty for sin, like all the pain, all the suffering, his work on the cross provides an answer for that. All your grief, right? All your feelings of inadequacy, all your feelings of, I don't know if I can make it, answered on the cross. And so then the Lord took my mind to this next verse. This is all God dealing with me, right? Because my mind is racing about how I'm going to finish the year, how I'm going to start next year. You know, what's going to happen with teachers that's leaving? What's going to happen with new teachers that coming? Test scores. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to get ready for this summer. We're going to be traveling. My mind is racing. God hit me with his finish. Like whatever you're facing, I've already provided the answer for it. My will is going to be done. It's nothing that you really have to do besides trust me. Then he gave me Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. The word says, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself had gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. And I read that to y'all because God gave me that because he was like saying, I know what you're going through. I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. I know what it feels like to feel like you got all this weight on your shoulders, or I know what it feels like to be mocked. I know what it feels like to feel like the odds are stacked against you. I need y'all to understand that Jesus experienced all of those things. He did all of that. Think about it. He left where he was, a perfect place, right? He was without sin, without blame, but he left where he was to enter in to all our mess with us. He doesn't just sit back and watch us go through it. He said, I'm going to sit right beside you in the hospital room. I'm going to sit right beside you in the divorce. I'm going to sit right beside you in the miscarriage. I'm going to sit right beside you in the drama. I'm going to sit right beside you while they're talking about you. I'm going to be right there with you while they think you're saying you're not qualified. I'm going to be right there with you. He did all of that. He did all of that. Right? And I began to think of, well, God, if you did all of that, why do our brains work like they work? Right? And God said, right? God said, a lot of people believe in me. Watch this. A lot of people say they believe in me, but they really don't believe in my word. And he said, a lot of the people who are called by my name, they are biblically illiterate. They don't know my word. Right? I say, why are we like that? Right? We know you're good. Like, we know you're God and we know these things that I'm saying. But why are we like that? Because we refuse to just stand on his word. In those times when your mind begins to wander, you have to let God bring you back to the word. You can't listen to all the voices that's doubting you. Sometimes you can't even listen to your own voice. Sometimes you your own worst enemy. You got to rely on the word. God's word leaves us without excuse. And so as I go through, I'm going to try my best if the Spirit allows me to just preach through this, right? And I'm going to be hitting you with verse after verse after verse. But the reason that I'm hitting you with verse after verse after verse is because I want to show you how God's word, how his word leaves us without excuse. How everything that we need is in the word. How every answer we need is in the word, because God did that. Everything you need, he's already done it. I need y'all to believe that. Every single thing that you need, he's already done it. He's already provided for it. He has nailed every excuse. Every excuse that you have not to serve him, not to live for him, he nailed it to the cross when he dropped his head and said, it is finished. Romans 1 and 20 says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. All them times where you saying, well, God, I can't see it. He say, just look at the trees, look at the star, look at the moon, look at the sun, feel the breeze on you, right? Look at all that I have made. Even when you saying I can't see it, he say I'm visible in everything that's made. Take that excuse away. Take that as the same way you don't doubt that the sun gonna rise in the morning, right? Because I'm allowing it, right? Nobody gets up and say, I wonder if the sun is gonna rise today. You don't wake up thinking that. You don't wake up thinking that. You just know that it is, right? He's saying that's a sign of my consistency. That's a sign of my faithfulness. That's a sign of my power that every morning, without fail, right, things keep going. says, right? In Luke 14 and 18, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. And this is a part of a parable. And in this parable, the people began to make excuses. And that's what we do. We began to make excuses. And this is a huge part of what this sermon is about. Y'all have to go read. I don't want to read the whole Luke 14, but y'all have to go read. But the people were making excuses because sometimes we don't want to take personal responsibility and accountability when God has already done the very thing that we're afraid of. He's already opened the door. He's already made a way. Because James 14 and 7 tells us that if anyone knows to do good and they don't do it, it's a sin. God is saying today, I've already done so much for you, right? You know, how many times have you been in a situation and you know the right thing to do? I'm pretty sure, missionary, you knew the right thing to do was forgive, was to hug, was to show love, because you know for a fact that God is a redeemer. But how many times is it too hard to do the thing that we know to do? Because we don't rely on his word. We don't give his word the power that it's supposed to have. When his word say forgive, that's not optional. When his word say trust, that's not optional. When his word says obey, that's not optional. When it says be patient, when it says be long-suffering, when it says turn the other cheek, those things are not optional. He's already said, but it's so hard to do. Well, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. It's a power giver. God says, I already did that. Take that excuse. Take that it's too hard to do. Take that out of your vocabulary because I've already done that for you. My work on the cross has already made that possible. We got to learn how to avoid laziness and deflection. Proverbs 22 and 13, the lazy person claims there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed. You might be saying, what? Right? But it's the thing where you sit in the house and you sit and you say everything that's going to go wrong. Man, if I do that, then I ain't going to be able to pay my bill for the next month. That's the line. That's the line that the thing is like. We make up excuse because we really don't want to do it. So we make up excuse and say, if I do that, right? I'm struggling with the person on my job who right now, every time you ask them, well, what should we do? They have all the scenarios of what can go wrong, but they never provide an actual solution to the problem. So I had to get to the point where I just stopped asking them for their opinion because they were never providing a solution. And when people do that, when you only can see all the things that can go wrong and you never have a solution or hope, it paralyzes you, and you end up becoming lazy because you don't move at all. You just would rather do nothing because you're afraid that you're going to fail or you're going to mess up or you're going to hurt somebody's feelings or somebody is going to walk away. Jesus say, take that excuse off your plate. I've already done that for you. Right? I didn't. That spirit of fear is not of me. I didn't give you that. That's the word. God sees through all of our excuses. It goes all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 3, 12 and 13. The man said, the woman who you gave me. These are those times when we start to point fingers and says, well, the only reason I'm in this situation is because of my wife. If she would just do X, Y, and Z, then I could be a better Christian. I could be a better pastor. I could be a better father. With all like that, I could be more faithful. Lord, I could trust you more if my wife would just pray with me. If she would just be better, I would be better. God sees through all of our excuses. Adam said, it's the woman that you gave to me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it. God sees through that. God sees through that. He says, I made you. I gave you authority. I gave you dominion. Your wife can't make you do nothing. She might have offered it to you, but you didn't have to take it. The responsibility lies with you. He says, I didn't give it to her. I gave it to you. God has already done that. He is constantly calling us to not just obedience, but bold obedience. Bold obedience. There have been times, how many times in your life have you done something, but you've done it half-heartedly? Like, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to do it with boldness. I'm going to have a conversation, but I'm going to sugarcoat it a little bit or change the words up a little bit so it goes down a little bit smoother, or, you know, you're not as offended. But God is calling us to bold obedience. When we trust his word, verses like Joshua 1 and 9 mean more to us. Have I not commanded you, be strong, not weak, be strong and courageous, not cowardly, but be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. That's clear. That's clear. That's not confusing. Do not be afraid. When you get ready to go on that new job, sis, do not be afraid. When God tell you, you a giant slayer, do not be afraid. When people don't listen and they start acting funny, God got an answer for that too. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, it doesn't say people going to be with you. It says for the Lord your God will be with you. And not just I'm going to be with you when you're here and there. He says I will be with you wherever you go.
Amen. Amen.
God already did that. He's already provided a solution for your fears, for your doubts, and for your worries. Our excuses often come from fear of failure, fear of rejection, feelings of inadequacy. A lot of us in here deal with that too. We're not good enough, right? A lot of our excuses come from our desire for comfort and control because we don't want to be uncomfortable or we don't want to feel like we don't have control in what's going to happen next. We make excuses, right? But 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. Your mind, your brain going to try to tell you, you're losing it. Right? Your brain going to tell you, you're overwhelmed. But the word says, when you start to feel like that, you got to say, this ain't of God. This thing right here, this thing that I'm feeling, is not of God. And please understand that I'm not telling you not to be weak before the Lord, because the Lord tells us that we can rest, that we can trust on him. I'm talking about all them intrusive thoughts that have you wanting, like I said last Sunday, that have you wanting to run. You got to say, this thing that I'm feeling, I'm okay with being weak. I'm okay with being vulnerable. I'm okay with being transparent because I know God is going to respond to my cry, right? So I'm okay with that, but I'm not okay with feeling defeated. I'm not okay with feeling like I'm not going to make it. I'm not okay with feeling like I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring or how God is going to get me out of this situation. My word tells me that my God will never leave me or never forsake me. Right? So not only has he not given us the spirit of fear, he says, but I have given you power. I have given you the ability to love. And I have given you a sound mind. The Satan loves, right? When he realizes you're no longer wrapped up in material things, right? He starts to try to attack your mind. He starts to try to make you think when he sees that you have already learned that the material things are not enough, he tries to make you think that God is not enough. Because he says, okay, they're not worried about the material things no more. They're dependent on God. So how can I make them think that God is not enough? How can I get them to question that their safety blanket, that their strong tower, that their rock is not enough? How can I get them to believe that? You got to rebuke that. God has given you a sound mind. You got to know the source of the fear is not from God. And when you know it's not from God, that helps you to confront it. This not a God. So I'm getting ready to, like, you have to fight your fears, not run from them. That's the sermon from that. Don't run. You got to fight them. Fight your fears. Fight your fears with exercise. Fight your fears with eating right. Fight your fears with praying. Fight your fears with reading. Fight your fears with love. Right? Like, fight those things. Fight those things. When you're afraid to be yourself even more. When you're afraid that people are not going to understand that this is who you are, or this is how you preach, or this is how you teach, or this is how you praise, do it even more. Lean into the thing that you're most afraid of. God said, I will make you strong in your weakness. We have to replace excuses with the truth of God's word. When we're saying to ourselves, I'm not qualified, you got to remember 1 Corinthians 1:27. God chose the foolish things, right? When you are saying, I'm afraid, you got to remember that Joshua 1:9, I'm strong, I'm courageous, and the Lord is with me. When you're telling yourself, I might fail, you got to remember 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. So what if you fail? Can I not make you recover from your failure? Can I not turn that thing into Romans 8:28 and make that failure work out for your good? You got to speak the word over yourself. When you're saying now is not a good time, you got to remember Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done.
Amen.
God has done all of that. He's replaced and removed every excuse that we can make. We find strength. We are able to strengthen our faith through the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. You got to start memorizing verses that speak to your fear. You got to start declaring the power and the promises of God out loud. When somebody says something foolish, start saying no. The word say, right? Rebuke the enemy. You got to pray scripture when you feel unsure. Sometimes we want to pray what's in our heart, right? Lord, save my son. Do this for my son. Do that. How you know that's what God want to do? How you know he don't want to let him hit the wall in order to save him? Right? We got to get out of and that's where our disappointment comes, because we're praying for one thing so hard and God's will is all the way on the other side. And then when we don't get with what we are praying for, we say, God, where are you? God said, where are you? You outside of my will. My will is over here. So instead of always praying for what you want, pray for the will of God to be done. And then not only that, after you strengthen your faith, you got to start to take small steps of obedience. Faith is active. It's not something that we just believe, but you got to do something. When you say you believe the word of God, you got to put some action behind what you say you believe. James 2:18 says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. People are going to act like who they are. They can tell you, I believe X, Y, Z. I believe in forgiveness. And then if they don't forgive, do they really believe in forgiveness? I believe in love. But if they really don't show love, do they really believe in love? James says, show me what you believe by what you do, what you actually do. Learn how to say yes, even when you're afraid. Learn how to say yes to small opportunities. But I want to put a disclaimer on that, because some of y'all will be busy about it. Learn how to say yes to small opportunities, to small windows that the Lord opened up for you. Not stuff you went to see. Not people that's trying to use you, right? But say yes to them small opportunities. I got an opportunity. It was crazy to me. For as long as I've been in education and I've been an administrator, I've never been to the Teacher of the Year banquet. Even when I was in classroom, that's an award that I never won. For all these students who say, I love Mr. Johnson, I was never voted by my peers to be a school teacher of the year, a district teacher of the year, never been to a Teacher of the Year banquet. The first Teacher of the Year banquet I went to, guess what? They put me on the program to pray. Right? Say yes to the small opportunities. The small opportunities. Your gift will make room for you. It'll put you exactly where you need to be. It'll put you exactly where you need to be. Right? So, and I use that story because with all the stuff that I'm going through on my job, the Lord keeps confirming. While everybody else saying, or I won't say everybody, but while people are doubting, get ready for this, sis, because it's coming for you because you know the people mad. But why they are doubting and why they saying you don't deserve and this is going wrong and that. But then God just keeps steadily letting you rise to the top. You shouldn't have to apologize for you who you are. I'm sorry that I'm a king's kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry that I have favor with God. Right? God did that. I didn't do that. He did that. You got to learn to move forward even when you feel unqualified. Trust that God is going to equip those that he calls. God say, I made you for a time and a season, just as this. While everybody's saying you can't do it, I made you right now for this time in this season for them kids at MLK, for every teacher in that building, whether they want you there or not. I put you there. And I'm going to equip you to do the work. He says, I did that. You didn't do that. I did that. You got to stay in community and in accountability. Isolation. Isolation breeds excuses. Community fuels faith. When you get alone, that's when your mind, y'all done heard that an idle mind is the devil's playground. Right? Stop being isolated. Stay in community. Hebrews 10 and 24 tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. For every fiery dart that's coming for me, that's coming for our usher, that's coming for our minister, that's coming for every fiery dart that's coming for them, one of us need to be encouraging them and saying, sis, don't worry about that.
Amen.
You are who God called you to be. You are good. You are faithful. Every fiery dart.
Yes, yes.
Right? If the enemy want to shoot arrows, God, people need to be shooting arrows right back at him. Let us think how we can spur one another on in love and in good deeds. We got to learn how to share our goals and our fears with godly people. When you share the things that God wants to do with your life, with people that don't mean you no good, they gonna talk you out of that thing. We think everybody, like, stop thinking everybody on your team. Everybody is not on your team. They might smile in your face. They might get on your timeline and say congratulations, right? They might like the message. And in the same verse, in the next conversation, they talking about how you're not qualified. You got to begin to learn who to share your stuff with. The words say, don't cast your pearls amongst swine. Let others speak truth to you and listen. I know sometimes your faith gonna waver, Minister AP. I know your faith gonna waver sometimes. That's all right. But guess what? When somebody try to speak truth to you, receive it. Let them have faith for you in the times that you don't. God did that. God put that person there to encourage you when you're feeling unencouraged.
Amen.
He did that.
Amen.
The truth is, and I'm almost done. The truth is, many of the things that we say we are afraid of, failing, not being enough, not knowing the outcome, they don't really hold up when we consider what God has already shown us. We say we don't have enough faith. But God has given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us his track record. He's given us his promises. What else? What else? He's done all of that. What else are you waiting on? We say we're afraid, but God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. We say we don't know how, but he's told us to ask for wisdom in James 1 and 5. I don't understand. Ask for wisdom. And an answer shall be given. We say we can't do it, but he says his strength has made us perfect in our weakness. We say we don't want to fail, but he says all things, even the failures, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Please understand that when you love the Lord, even your failures are going to work out in your favor. You just have to love the Lord. Now, if you don't love the Lord and you go out there and make a mistake, you got to own that failure. But even then, if you would turn, even then, if you would turn, God could make that thing work out for you. And so the point of this sermon, and I'm almost done. The point of this sermon isn't to shame anybody or to make you feel bad for the times that you have doubted God. It ain't about you. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to expose the fear in you as a lie. That's the only thing. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what the enemy is trying to do to you. That's what I'm talking about. I want to expose fear for what it is. Fear is an excuse, right? Fear is an excuse. And it's so stupid because fear is, you got fear on one hand and you got the mighty power of God on the other side. The two things don't compare. When you compare your fears to the mighty power of God, your fear can't do nothing. We can't coddle, we can't baby our excuses. Because when we do, it robs us of the power and it robs us of the peace that faith produces. When we talk about faith, we saying that we believe in something. We're saying that I believe in the power of God. But when you lean into your fear, you are basically saying that that power is not strong enough to address what you got going on. And so I close with, he did. When he got up on that cross, knowing that all things were accomplished, and he bowed his head, right? And scriptures say he gave up his ghost, he gave up his spirit. And then by the time we get to Act 2, we see that spirit return, the spirit that he gave up. We see that spirit return, and then not only does it rest on us, but it abides in us. So you're telling me the same spirit that he had that allowed him to accomplish what he did is abiding and resting in me? And God is not asking me to get on the cross. He's just asking me to be faithful on my job. He's not asking me to die for nobody, but just be faithful in my marriage. He's not asking me to take on the sins of the world, but just to be a faithful servant and son and husband. But I get the same power. He did that. He did that. Y'all have to rest in that. Rest in the fact that he did that, all of that, just for you. Just for you, by name, he did that for you. For this time, right now, whatever season that you're in, whatever challenge you face, whatever medical problem you face, whatever anxiety, fear, he talking to me now because I know what some of y'all are going through. Whatever you're going through with your kid, whatever you're going through in your mind, that work he did on the cross, he did that just for you. He did that just for you. Just for you. Amen. Amen. Amen.